the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site covering the Arizona Cardinals. And this is episode 406, and part two of our NFL Combine recap and discussion. Seth Cox is with me, as he normally is, although we don't always get him for the second show of the week. From RevengeOfTheBirds.com, the SB Nation Arizona Cardinals site, and one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast. And because we're talking Combine, we have his co-host, Justin Higdon, from the original Draft Breakdown podcast. We get a bonus. Basically, we get two extra episodes of the original Draft Breakdown podcast, which y'all should be subscribed to. It's everywhere where you can get podcasts. And then if you want a little extra, make sure you join the Patreon level. They've got a couple of tiers, the $2 a month where you get the extra show that they do, $4 a month, and you also get the written content that they add, which is kind of clutch at this time of year as well. Justin, welcome again to the show. Glad to have you back. We talked offensive players on our last show. We had you on about a month ago to talk about the Senior Bowl, but now we get on the defensive side of the ball. Thanks for talking again, even though I think I'm getting more out of this than you're getting out of it from us, I think.
I love talking with you guys, though. Every year we get to link up and talk, and I get a new perspective on what the Arizona Cardinals need every year, even though I live in Chicago. But hey, why not?
Hey, so on our last show, we were talking all about position by position, the offensive players. But now we will focus on the position groups on the defensive side of the ball. We got the defensive interior, the edge guys, the off-the-ball linebackers, corners, and safeties. We're not going to talk about specialists. There's nothing to talk about with specialists in the combine. That's just dumb. So let's jump right in. Interior defensive lineman, the defensive interior, which is an area the Cardinals probably should address. They've got Zach Allen in free agency, J.J. Watt retiring, and then mostly a bunch of okay-ish players. You know, Jonathan Ledbetter, Rashard Lawrence, a guy that can't stay healthy, Lucky Fotu, who has, you know, on the high end could flash and become something special, but thus far has just been an okay player as a reserve. You know, you need guys like that, but if they're going to play defense the way Jonathan Gannon and Nick Rawlins wants to, they need difference makers. Do we have any athletic difference makers on the defensive interior outside of Jalen Carter, whom, you know, could have been a top three pick, but with what happened in Athens earlier in the year, it looks like that he probably won't be, even though he's rated number one prospect by some, he's probably not going the top 10 right now.
I mean, I think I would ask you guys, you and Seth, like, what do you think Jonathan Gannon is looking for in an interior defensive lineman? Because Seth and I talked about it on the original Draft Breakdown podcast earlier this week, but there are quite a few talented guys that we could project to be like penetrating, pass rushing, defensive tackles, but they're small. And so what do you guys think is thinking about what Gannon ran in Philly and what you think he's going to run now in Arizona, what do you think the Cardinals are looking for? Because I think this is a talented defensive tackle class.
It's interesting to think about that, because if you look at, they had Fletcher Cox already.
Right.
They signed Javon Hargrave, and then they drafted Jordan Davis. So if we have something, well, Fletcher Cox was a guy they already had, but they went out and got Hargrave, and then they drafted Jordan Davis. So I'm guessing.
And Hargrave is an interesting one to bring up, Jess, because there are quite a few guys that kind of project like him, right? The kind of smaller, interior, athletic, but nose tackle types.
So they've got two very different body types because Jordan Davis, now granted he was, you know, like you talked about on the show, this very show last year, his athletic comp was a grizzly bear. We've never seen anybody like him.
And that's why I always thought the Jalen Carter number one overall thing was kind of funny, because you had a bigger, like in every way, bigger, more athletic guy on the same defensive line last year, and nobody was saying he was the number one pick. And now you have a you know, Jalen Carter, you know, before the off the field thing comes up, and he compares athletically. We didn't see him test, you know, but we can project because he was expected to run in a 5 second range in the 40 at about 6'3", between 300 and 315. And I think he actually did measure. So I'll look at,
yeah, he's 6'3" and an
8'3", 314. Good arm length, like big guy. Like he checks every box size wise, but he doesn't have the production. And even if you project like a 5 second 40 or even a 4.9, like he's not that much different than some of the Alabama guys that we've seen come out, like Quinnen Williams or Jonathan Allen, right?
Well, the question is, and this is the debate I know that you guys have, is a guy like Jalen Carter, who didn't have like 6 sacks in 2 seasons, 13 and a half, maybe 15 right. tackles for loss over 2 seasons. Quinnen Williams, it took him year 4 to give any right. sort of real pass rushing production. Is yeah, exactly. Carter worth a top 5 pick, despite what some of the analytic metrics in terms of disruptions and pressures and that, if you're not getting statistical impact in the pass rush, is
no,
a guy
I
like
think,
that worth it?
I don't think so. I mean, and I think you can throw out the off the field stuff. I mean, that isn't, you know, that's definitely a consideration for NFL teams, right? And that's going to drop him. But if you even before that came to light, we were saying no, it's not worth it, because your return isn't going to happen for a couple of years. Like that just has been the MO for all these interior defensive linemen.
Because they have to develop into a full-time player, right? Because they usually come
Correct.
Out of college playing, 30% of the snaps?
Yeah, exactly, Jess. And if you look at the Georgia-Ohio State game, how many times did they show, and I think I talked about this before on the show, but maybe not, but how many times did they flash to Jalen Carter during the Ohio State-Georgia game, which was a tight game, came down to the wire? Jalen Carter was on the sideline in a lot of those flashes. And I'm not saying that he stinks. What I'm saying is guys that big on that play defense tend to play low snap counts. And when they get to the NFL especially, it starts out about 30%. And then it builds up after a couple of years to 50, 60%. And this is something Seth and I talk about every year. And even at the max, it might get to 80%. That takes a lot of NFL conditioning to get to that point. And that's when you get your Quinnen Williams year 4 having double-digit sacks. So you have to be really patient with these guys. They're not going to be immediate impact guys, and that's why I have a problem with Jalen Carter being a top 5 guy.
You do have some guys that, you know, would be interesting on day 2. Kalijah Kancey, he's very undersized though.
Do you think Kancey makes it to day 2 though? Because
I don't know.
Honestly, his comp is, you know, his helmet comp is Aaron Donald, but also his height, weight, speed comp is Aaron Donald.
But I think that's just such a tough comp to make
and he went to Pitt too.
Right.
Exactly. That's what I mean. His helmet comp.
Yeah,
like
so, but
I mean, like Aaron Donald went 13th?
Yeah.
And so I'm saying, like, is, you know, after that, there's like 19 other picks. Is Kancey going to get past that?
Probably not. Let me ask you about a couple guys, Jay, because, you know, one of the things that we talk about is explosiveness. That's measured by the broad jump. A couple of these guys came in and had nice ones. Jalen Redmond out of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
6'2 and 3/8, 291. He had 116-inch broad, so 9 feet, 8 inches, which is, you know, for interior defensive linemen, is like 95th percentile.
Yeah. Extremely impressive. 40 in jumps and above average in the shuttle. Yeah. What do you think?
He's probably a third round, early fourth round type of guy, isn't he?
Totally. You and I actually briefly touched on him on our show on the original Draft Breakdown podcast. But it was kind of fleeting. We didn't get a lot of time to talk about him. But I mentioned that athletically he compares to Geno Atkins. And Geno Atkins was a fourth round pick. And then have a fantastic career. And the thing is, like, Redmond, he's going to turn 24 years old here in a few days. So that's probably holding him back. Back when Geno Atkins was drafted, what held him back was the size. But we're not worried about that as much now. So, yeah, I think your read on this is right. Third, fourth round. And you're going to get, you know, a very athletically gifted player. And the thing that people are going to ask about with Oklahoma players coming out these last few years is work ethic, because that's been, like, we had Perrion Winfrey go early fourth round last year, and he just didn't see the field that much. But the Cleveland Browns are expecting good things out of him. They seem to have turned a corner. Is this going to be a situation like that where he's kind of a slow burn? But Redmond is the type of player I would take on day three.
Yeah, a couple other guys that fit that. Zach Pickens out of South Carolina. Dante Stills out of West Virginia. Moro Odoro.
You've been a Dante Stills guy for a long time.
Right. Yeah, I like him. But the guy that really intrigues me, and a guy that I think you could make a case for in the third round is Keanu Benton out of Wisconsin.
Yeah, another guy that you've been on for a long time.
And he's a little bit, I mean, and by little, I mean, he's 20 pounds bigger than these other guys we're talking about. And he had a 111-inch broad jump.
He's also like 2 years, a year and a half, 2 years younger.
Right. And he had a really good three cone, average short shuttle. He's got really long arms for a defensive player at 33 7/8 inch. You know, and he's got some really good tape.
Seth, let me ask you this, because your guy's coach, I mean, at 6'4" with those long arms and this athleticism, there's probably some schemes where he's playing outside, right?
Right. If they want to go into a three-man front, he's a guy that can play outside with his athleticism and short area movement ability. So, you know, you look at it, Benton's a guy that I think would make sense on day three. You know, he's got,
do you think he gets day three? I mean,
round three. I meant round three.
Yeah. Right. I mean, because I think, like, projection wise, if based on the scheme and what you're talking about testing, like, you mentioned Pickens, Stills, Redmond. Those guys are all skinnier, older, and they're not like Ben, I think, might be a third round guy.
The last guy I think we need to mention along the defensive line that really stood out was Gervin Dexter out of Florida. Talk about just a mammoth person. 6'5 3/4, 310 pounds. He ran a 4.88 40, and then had a 31-inch vertical and 110-inch broad jump. And you might be saying, well, that's impressive, but, like, this is a defensive player. You know, he's going to be a watch because
And he doesn't turn 22 until October. He is young.
Yeah. And so he's interesting to watch because he's got some really high-end athletic comps, but he didn't produce like those guys did. Yeah. Coming
the guy out. The guy brought up on our show on the original Draft Breakdown podcast was Leonard Williams.
Right.
So he's got that kind of potential, but in that scheme, I think he's kind of handcuffed. But if you get Leonard Williams on day two, you're winning.
And I know Jess wants to talk shortly about Nesta Jade Silvera, who had a really, really nice testing. 6'1" and a half, but 304 pounds. But he, you know, at 304 pounds for him to go, the 40-yard dash wasn't anything impressive, but he had a 110-inch broad jump, which, again, when we're talking about explosiveness off the ball, that's what you're looking at, right? He's a day three guy all day. And
now, how did he produce? Because you guys are probably more familiar, obviously, than I am with him. But as a guy, not overly old, I mean, he just turned 23. But was he productive for ASU?
I mean, he was just here 1 year, so that was the hardest thing.
Yeah, there was nothing great about that defense this year. And
right.
But he was steady. He was steady for that group.
And, you know, if I'm just looking at him on paper, that's what he is. Like, he is completely middle of the road across the board. So I would expect him to be drafted. Like, there's nothing and I know he was invited to the combine, so I mean, that tells you right there. We Seth and I talk about this every year. Like, most of the guys invited to the combine, or I'm sorry, most of the guys that are drafted are invited to the combine, and it's very rare that you have a year where there's like more than 30 or 50 guys that aren't invited to the combine that get drafted. So it's a good indication that the NFL likes this guy.
Coming up next on the Res Ipsy Red podcast, Best Eric Cardinals Talk on the Way. Let's move on to a group that the Cardinals have keen interest on, especially top of the draft. That's the edge pass rushers. That's coming up next on Res Ipsy Red. We're back on the Res Ipsy Red podcast, Best Eric Cardinals Talk on the Web. The edge defenders, the pass rushers. There are two names at the top of the draft that are connected to the Cardinals early. Obviously, one is Alabama's Will Anderson, and the second is Texas Tech's Tyree Wilson. Really, no one was talking about Wilson overtaking Anderson until Daniel Jeremiah kind of threw it out there that there might be teams kind of like with last year's first round pick. Number one pick overall, Trayvon Walker, ended up going over Aiden Hutchinson, despite Hutchinson being the guy who was probably going to be first overall forever and ever and ever. And then Seth, you and I have heard whispers from people that say that the Cardinals like Wilson. Tell me that is there really that much higher a ceiling for Tyree Wilson at this Texas Tech program than the proven production of Will Anderson? Yes, slightly undersized, depending on what you want to do, and the elite production that he had. He has the requisite athleticism, motor, has the IQ, and played at a big-time program, best competition, and had elite production. Why would anyone take Tyree Wilson over Will Anderson?
Well, and I'll do you one better, Jess. I'll ask Seth this. Why would anyone take Tyree Wilson over Lucas Van Ness from Iowa?
Yeah, the Tyree Wilson thing, I think we have no testing numbers. He's been injured. You know, he measured 6'6" and an eighth, 271 pounds. So height-wise, he's a monster. Arm length is a monster.
Yeah, and so he could play a 4-3 end.
And easily. I think the thing that you look at is you've got guys.
Couldn't Van Ness, though, also?
Right, yeah. And so you look at your height, size, arm length comparisons are, you know, great, because one of them's Chandler Jones, because there's just not very many guys with 35 plus inch arms on the defensive side of the ball. Those guys usually get moved to the offensive side of the ball. And so obviously if you get Chandler Jones, that would be wonderful. But then like the low end, and it's not bad by any stretch of the imagination, but it certainly isn't something you would want out of the third overall pick, would be Dietrich Wise, who, you know, 6'5", 275. And again,
wasn't he a fifth round pick?
He was a fourth round pick. Fourth, yeah.
Right.
And so, you know, that's what the, you know, if you're looking at it, I guess if you're wanting to go the route of a traditional defense, like 43 defensive end, that makes sense. But
doesn't,
you know,
make sense, the number three pick or even a top 10 pick?
It, well, really doesn't.
Let me take this a step further, because you have this, these guys both measured at the combine. They both only benched, but you have Tyree Wilson, 6'6", 271, 35 and 5/8 inch arms, and he's going to be 23 on May 20th, and he bench pressed 23 times. And you have Zach Harrison, who is 6'5 and a half, 274, with 36 and a quarter inch arms. And his birthday is August 14th, 01. So he's going to be 22 in August. And he had 25 reps. And we know that Zach Harrison was a track athlete. Like, why is Tyree Wilson a top five pick? And I think Zach Harrison is generally thought of as like a second or third round pick.
I know the metrics are partially, because I believe Daniel Jeremiah on this podcast was saying is that he generated pressure on more than 20% of his pass rushes. So he's got the size. He has what is believed is high end athleticism. Like if he had been healthy, done his testing, that it would have been Trayvon Walker like. And you look at the analytics and it says he's always around the quarterback. That makes sense. I will say this. Will Anderson, I'm going to say this from now to the end, until the draft, you know, the Cardinals might end up probably run a 4-3, but we saw a slightly undersized guy be greatly successful in that scheme in Philly, and that's Hassan Reddick.
Right.
And Will Anderson is a souped-up version of him, so what maybe he's best suited for a 3-4 outside linebacker, but they have, in the system they're going to run, a rush linebacker position from the 4-3 side, and they got a guy who is smaller, have 16 sacks. So I don't know.
I mean, Will Anderson is a no doubter over Tyree Wilson, but even more to the point is that Tyree Wilson compares like almost note for note to Zach Harrison, who's widely thought of as a third round pick. And that's why I would be like extremely hesitant to go Tyree Wilson with that pick.
A couple other guys that, you know, if they trade out of the third pick, because I don't want to get too sad thinking about them passing on Will Anderson for Tyree Wilson.
But look. Look at it as a positive. Somebody wants quarterback. You guys might be, you've got Kyler, you know, and you
but,
might have a
but
couple
we could
extra
have
first
Nick Bosa too.
I know. Believe me, I tried to tell you guys that.
Oh, I beat that drum for, I mean, you can ask Jeff about that. I beat that drum forever. But there are a couple guys at 34 that I want to ask you about, Justin. We talked about one last night. This guy was like the super freak of the draft. Adetami Wa-Ada-Bare. And He came in at 6'1 5/8", 282 pounds, but he had a 4.49 40, a 37.5 inch vertical, 125 inch broad, and then 27 reps on the bench. There's like few, if any, testing numbers we've seen like this. And he could be a true kind of 4.3 edge guy if needed, right?
Well, I don't like him as an edge because he didn't produce that way. So he tests that way, and then you get a comp like Nick Perry, which it's not a bad comp. I mean, he's more first-round pick to Green
Can
Bay.
Can he play inside, though?
That's the thing, Jess, and that's a great question. And
so he's built like an interior guy, an edge.
Yeah, and he – but if you look at where he played the Big Ten, he did – make plays off in the interior line, but you're also talking about him playing against, you know, interior linemen from Rutgers, right, or Indiana. Okay, but one of the most intriguing comps that I came up with when I scanned his numbers was, what was it, Adalius Thomas?
Yeah, Adalius Thomas.
Yeah, and that if you put him into mock draftable, that number comes up. And what do you see after the combine? The Ravens are working this guy out at linebacker. And the Ravens were the guys that drafted Adalius Thomas. He ends up having a great career between the Ravens and the Patriots. So I think this is kind of a jackknife, Swiss Army knife type player where you don't really have – like, he's not going to be Solomon Thomas where you draft him in the top three expecting him to play edge. You're going to get this guy on day two, second or third round, and get to make him like that Swiss Army knife type player. And I fully expect him to end up with the Ravens or the Patriots.
What about Isaiah Foskey, a guy that tested really similar to Bradley Chubb?
So I think Foskey is a player that for some reason has gotten his draft stock kind of tanked by a big draft, because I've seen people ask guys like Dane Brugler, Matt Miller, and those guys, why isn't Foskey a day one guy? And with all due respect to those guys, because I like them and you know, I've met them and they're pals of mine, but they haven't really given a good answer other than they just don't, that's not what they're hearing. So Foskey, I think, is a player who's going to outplay his draft stock. And I don't think, I'm not making a stylistic comparison, but think Emmanuel
right? Ogba. Okay.
Yeah. So, from Oklahoma State. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, he's going to go, Foskey's going to go early day two, and he's not going to be a 10 sack guy, but he's going to be a guy who bats passes down, a guy who gets pressure, guy who impacts games. And for a day two pick, that's going to be good.
Yeah. And I mean, Ogba is in seven seasons averages about six sacks a year. So,
and look at his pass breakups.
Right. Which is incredible for, you know, he had 12 in 2021.
And that's one of the things we talk about on our show so much. A pass breakup from a defensive lineman is a batted pass at the line of scrimmage. That is almost as good as a sack. You're not losing yards, but you're not gaining yards. It's shutting down the play at the line of scrimmage. And I think it's a play that goes on that's not respected the way it should be in terms of draft evaluation and NFL production.
Give me some thoughts on Miles Murphy out of Clemson, and then the guy, one of the guys that was one of the studs of the combine, Nolan Smith. Obviously, two yeah. very different builds. Nolan Smith, 6'2", 238. We're talking about lightly faster and slightly longer than Hassan Reddick, but again, not major production in college. But Miles Murphy, who's considered one of the big pass rushing names.
Yeah, to Murphy's me, Murphy tough, not working out was kind of a disappointment, right?
Yeah, and I think, like, just from a size comp, the only thing that we have that's like impressive, you can look at Josh Allen, the edge rusher from a couple of years ago, you know, and he hasn't been great with, I mean, he hasn't had a huge success thus far with
Jacksonville.
Thank you. He did have 10.5 sacks his rookie season. Okay.
Right. But,
you know, so he's, that's one. The other one's Whitney Mercilus.
But Murphy getting up on the podium and saying he was going to run a 4.55 and then not running. I mean, right. Why do that? And especially because when he was in high school, he came in at 268. He weighed in, in high school he was at 260. He weighed in at the combine at 268. He ran a 4.57 in high school. Like, why not run?
Right. So that'll be what's interesting because, I mean, the testing wise would be similar to Allen as well.
And I don't want to be harder on the D than I am on the offense because a lot of those guys didn't either. But, like, why my thing is, why get up on the podium and say you're going to do that and then not do it? Like, most of the guys who didn't run on offense, if not all, they did not brag about the time and then not do it.
You had Nolan Smith, you had McDonald, who both were big producers at the combine.
Yeah, well, I'll say Nolan Smith, like what I said to Seth on our show is, what do you do with him? Like, do you think he's Micah Parsons 2.0? Because he came out of high school, he was supposed to be this lightning pass rusher, and he wasn't. And we saw that. He could play a couple different roles. If you project him a linebacker, then his numbers are going to look better. And Parsons was kind of the same way. But
Parsons' tape also showed that he was also an elite off the ball. Like, he was a playmaker all over the place.
Exactly. And Smith doesn't have that kind of tape. But Parsons' tape, to be fair, wasn't that he was this great pass rusher either. But I guess his high school tape was like that, and that's where Smith's tape is probably going to be similar. But, you know, you're projecting that. And so you put Smith as a linebacker, he's very impressive. You move him to defensive end, and his size is underwhelming, and his production is below average. So what do you do with him? I mean – there's no doubt this guy had a fantastic combine. And the one thing I'll say about him, like, his teammates love him and they see him as a leader. So I would bet on him, but I would like to bet on him late in the first, early second round.
I could see him playing, like, again, I'm going to use the Philly equivalent because the Cardinals were probably running something similar to that. You could play him in the rush linebacker spot, but given the choice, would you rather have him doing that or would you have Will Anderson doing that?
I'd rather Will Anderson.
Yeah.
100 times out of 100.
I would too.
This is the thing too. Like, people are saying, well, look at Hassan Reddick. Well, Hassan Reddick was a great pass rusher in college and Nolan Smith wasn't. So that's one of the hangups I have. And I know I get the scheme, but people said the same thing last year about Trayvon Walker. And I'm sorry, but he just didn't produce the way you want a number one pick to produce. Look at he was nowhere near like Myles Garrett. So forget that. I mean, I'm not going to buy that.
You mentioned Will McDonald. He's another tough one because he's so lean. He was sick. We were surprised he even worked out.
Honestly, Seth, he's not a tough one for me. He's old. He's light. He had a fever of 104. Why the heck did they even let him participate? That sounds really contagious. And and Daniel Jeremiah was, you know, didn't rank him in the top 10 until like a couple days before this. It stinks to high heaven for me. It's fishy. I like McDonald, but not like that. Like, he should be a fourth round pick or later.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Seabird podcast, the best of our Cardinals talk on the web. Let's move to the off the ball linebackers, a position that we're hoping the Cardinals aren't looking at again in the first round. That's coming up next on Rise Up Seabird. We're back on the Rise Up Seabird podcast, the best of our Cardinals talk on the web. We like to joke, Seth and I, about Cardinals and linebackers, but let's be fair. We have to let Monty Austin Fort make a draft. Like, they didn't draft, you know. They drafted Dalen Buchanan as a safety to turn him into a linebacker. They drafted Hassan Reddick to turn him into a linebacker. Then they drafted Isaiah Simmons to turn him into a linebacker. And then they drafted Zaven Collins, who was a linebacker. And that's after he drafted also Kevin Minter in the second round in 2013 as well. So they keep trying to draft linebackers and do them with premium picks. Let's imagine that's not happening this time around. Who are the linebackers? Who are the off-ball guys to know about in this from the combine?
I think the biggest one would be Jack Campbell, right, Justin?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, this guy was a freak, size, speed guy. You don't see linebackers this size anymore, 6'5", 250.
You and I joked that, like, if he didn't have such short arms, he would be a defensive end.
Right.
Because every other measurable about this guy checks the box.
That three cone, though? Holy crap. 6'7", 4".
I mean, it's phenomenal. And the thing about him is he plays defense. He plays pass defense just as well as he plays, attacking the line of scrimmage. So this is a guy who can make interceptions, can bat the ball down. And at 6'5", almost 250, he checks every single box except that arm length. And so that's why he's pigeonholed at linebacker. But I really like him. He's going to be a third-round pick.
And so, you look at that. And then the rest of the guys, I mean, there were some impressive numbers and things like that. Owen Popoa, the linebacker out of Auburn, ran a 4.39. But again, I mean, he came in at 225, 6 foot, 225.
And also one of those guys who we already knew that out of high school. And it's not like he's like been a super productive guy since he got to college.
The one guy that really I talked about him a little bit on our shows, and then he was all over the place, in the All-Star circuit, and then he had a good combine, was Diane Henley out of Washington State. The biggest thing with him is he's going to be older, but he was a Nevada wide receiver. And so, him testing well, like Jay said, isn't surprising, because I mean, he's 6 foot, 225. He ran a 4.54, had a 35 inch vert and a 125 inch broad, so a really explosive athlete. The one comp I've seen of him that I really like, and I don't know if we're allowed to do this, so I'll do it on this podcast, is Matt Milano.
Okay. What round was Milano? Fourth round?
Yeah, I think so. Let me double check. He might have been a third.
Yeah, check that. Seventh round, right?
No, sorry.
Okay. So that goes to the point I was about to make, but this is a really good linebacker class in terms of athleticism. And almost all these guys are going to go on day three. And that makes complete sense. And I'm not a running backs don't matter type of guy. I'm not a linebackers don't matter type of guy. But what we saw, think about last year, N'Kobe Dean, a player that a lot of draft nicks slot in the first round. He goes in the third round. He doesn't play all year. It's not because he stinks. It's because they have other linebackers in front of him. We saw this with Nick Vigil with Cincinnati a few years ago. Not because the linebackers in front of him are so good. It's just like they know the system. If linebackers get drafted third round or later, they are going to take a year or two to come around. It's kind of like running back, but not really. But like there are going to be a lot of high testing linebackers that go late, and you really have to accept that as a draft pick.
I mean, Cardinals fans understand this because when you get guys like Tanner Vallejo getting playing time,
who's the pass rusher guy that you had a couple of years ago that had, you know, a couple big games here and there? It's a white guy. Yeah.
Oh, Dennis Gardeck.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So, yeah. And that he was a guy that was an off the ball guy. That,
yeah, exactly. You
know, and they moved
that, testing.
That goes exactly to my point.
Yeah. I mean, this linebacker class, I have a hard time seeing them taking anybody until like 91. And so like,
I think your new GM is going to save you from taking guys like this until the fifth round. And that's fantastic. It's great news.
That is. Coming up next on Rise Up Secret Podcast, best of Cardinals talk. And let's move to the defensive backfield. Start with cornerbacks. Also a position. I think this is a position of need for every team every year. So let's talk cornerbacks. That's coming up next on Rise Up Secret. We're back on the Rise of C-Red podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web. Cornerback, a premier position in the NFL. I mean, last year, Sauce Gardner came off, you know, out of the draft, goes into the Jets, and he's immediately one of the best corners in the league. Do we have any impact guys like that this year?
Yeah, I think this is probably – and Seth, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is probably the premier position in this draft class.
Yeah, I think this is the best group. I think there's five guys worth going in the first round and probably 10 guys worth going in the top 60, 65 picks. Like, this is one, you have super, super elite athletes.
Yeah.
You know, Christian Gonzalez is the first guy. Like, if the Cardinals...
Well, we talked about this on our show. How many guys were sub 4.4?
Yeah, there were seven corners that went under 4.4.
Seven.
And then there were two that were 4.41 guys. So, right, right on the cusp.
That's insane.
The two names that come off... Devon Witherspoon didn't test, but... he's obviously up there in terms of cover statistics. Christian Gonzalez obviously was one of the big names coming out with the, because he's got the length at 6'1", 197, ran in 4.38. Those are had the 41.5-inch vert. How does that match up with his production on the field?
So the biggest thing that you're going to get knocked on from us in this cycle is going to be that a lot of these guys only have like 1 year of stellar productivity. Gonzalez is one of those guys. He had five passes defensed as a freshman in six games. Then he came back and had five passes defensed as a freshman at Colorado again before transferring to Oregon, where he kind of broke out, you know, four interceptions, seven passes defense, more in line with what you want from a top prospect. But that's the thing, is he's a size speed guy. The production is okay, but
what you have, Seth, is you have like really good production for 1 year for a guy who is going to be 21 years old in June too.
Yeah.
It's like, that is what a lot of people would call the breakout age. Right.
Let me throw a name at you, Justin. So there's a couple names that I like with this. These are obviously high end, so I don't want everybody to think like this is what he's going to end up, but like Jeff Okuda.
Yeah. Okuda, you could throw out Marshawn Lattimore. Could throw out Jack Griffin.
And then, you know, like, what about
athletically, these are the comps. And all these guys have had, you know, success in one way or another.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got Gonzalez. It was disappointing Witherspoon didn't work out, because I think there's some questions we'd like answered. But I think
what's your question, though? I mean, like, to me, it's
I wanted
like
to
he's
see
a
him,
good player.
I wanted to see him
he's
run
like a
because
second round player.
Right. I wanted to see him run just because of that. Like,
yeah, and he has a hammy, but I mean, he's short. I'm being a dick here, but I mean, he's under 6 foot. He's 5'11", 180. They said he was going to run a 4.39. I was dubious about that to begin with, but, you know, to me, he's kind of like the Jackson Smith and Jigba of defensive backs, where he's been gifted so much draft capital that he's not going to have to actually run.
The guy that I really like from checks a lot of boxes, and then there's this one giant red flag, is Emmanuel Forbes. Forbes would be a screaming pick at 34, man.
I'm gonna be the devil's advocate that says absolutely pull the trigger on that. I am a huge Forbes fan.
So you're talking about a guy that, again, this is like, we don't have any comparisons. There's literally nothing we can compare him to. He came in just a hair under 6'1", 166 pounds, but he has a great wingspan at 79 inches, which is 92nd percentile. He ran a 4.35, and he had really good vertical and broad jump numbers. And then you look at the on-ball production. So you heard what I said about Gonzalez earlier, you know, even throwing out names of first-round picks. Nobody is as productive as what Emmanuel Forbes has been.
And you said Gonzalez, what, 4 interceptions, 7 pass breakups this past year.
Yeah.
Forbes had 14 interceptions in 3 years, right?
Yeah.
And 6 pick sixes. Whoa. Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah. There is nobody in this class that compares to that. The entire hang up on Forbes is that he weighed 166 pounds, but he's 6'1", 32 plus inch arms, elite on ball production, 4.35 40, explosive jumps, 37.5 inch vertical, and 11 foot. I'm sorry, it's 10 foot 11 inch broad jump, right? So nearly 11 foot broad jump. This guy is one of the best, objectively the best, one of the best corners in the class. He's regularly not put in the first round because of his weight, but all these receivers are skinny now. I mean, so yeah, I get it. You've got a range of outcomes here. And Seth and Jess, I'll give you this. Rashard Robinson is like a low end, right? Who is that? We don't know. It's a 4th round pick from the 49ers. But one of the high-end outcomes is Dominique Rogers-Cromartie. And
Cardinals, I think, fans know it, that name.
Yeah, exactly.
And had a very long, productive career.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, think about this objectively in the context of today's game, where you've got receivers regularly coming out in the 170s, low 180s. Like, think Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave. Those guys were low 180s. Think Devontae Smith. We don't even know how he weighed. Like, he didn't even weigh in. So let's not get hung up on the weight. Emmanuel Forbes, elite player in this class to me. He's a first rounder.
A couple of guys that we could mention that had phenomenal testing. Deontay Banks out of Maryland. He had a great week. of testing. He's been banged up. That's one of the big questions, but he came in at 6'1", 197, 4.35 40, 42 inch vertical with an 11.4 broad. So, you know, again, explosive athlete. DJ Turner was the fastest.
Wouldn't Banks be a guy you caution against though, because he has all those great numbers, but without the production?
My biggest concern is what were the injuries? Why, because he only played in seven games in 2020 and 2021. Like that's always a concern to me with super athletic guys.
It's also just funny to me, like, where a guy like that blows you out of the water with the combine, and it's like, I'm not saying that about us. Like, we talk about draft all year, but a lot of guys that we follow on Twitter or whatnot, they cover their teams, and then they say, "Oh, I gotta check out this guy." You know, like, wait a second, don't you have to reflect on why you didn't hear about this guy before?
Right. DJ Turner was the fastest guy at the combine. We knew he was a freak.
Props to Bruce Feldman. He was within 1/100th of a second on this, because I think he said that DJ Turner was going to run a 4.28.
And he's had good production his 2 years at Michigan. Only 3 interceptions, but he had 7 passes defense last year, 10 this year.
What was he doing the first 2 years?
I don't know.
Special teams?
No, he didn't have any snaps, it says. So that's what
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm a Ohio State guy. I'm a Big Ten guy. Honestly, he came out of nowhere and then was just a super freak. But props to him, DJ Turner. Really good production.
Joey Porter Jr., did he test adequately for his size?
For sure, he did. 6'3", and then to be sub 4.5, like, and the pedigree. I mean, you can't deny that. I mean, this is a guy whose father had great success. So it's not like one of the things that I thought of when Joey Porter Sr. was on the combine coverage was when Ohio State was playing Penn State during the season, and they had Marvin Harrison Sr. and Joey Porter Sr. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be like a top 5 pick, but Joey Porter Jr. definitely checks all the boxes. He's going to be a really good player.
And I don't think like that's a guy that's going to be available in the Cardinals range unless they trade back way far. Like, I think if they move,
I totally agree.
I think if they move back inside the top 10, like from like 7 to 9,
Joey Porter Jr. is going to go like top 20.
Yeah, he's going to go, I feel like, in that 15 to 22 range. Yeah. Probably end up with the Steelers, right?
I think we mocked him to the Buccaneers, but yeah, that was probably me trying to avoid putting him with the Steelers.
But, and then there was one guy that was a super freak. He's huge and then he tested like a freak. Julius Brents out of Kansas State.
Everyone's going to think he's like the Tyreek Woolen this year, but he's not. He's not.
He's closer. He's more like Akilah Witherspoon was, right?
Or like Kevin King, right?
Right. But, I mean, both those guys went on day two.
Also not bad, but, I mean, both those guys have had their moments.
But yeah, I mean, Brent's 6'3", 198. He only ran a 4.53 40, which is plenty enough fast, but he had a 41.5 inch vert, 11 inch 6 broad and then a 6'6" 3 cone. So, you know, a guy that can play in zone coverage. Like I said, I think the comp there is Akilah Witherspoon, who's been fine in the NFL. He was a third round pick by the 49ers.
Yeah.
Has been with the Steelers. And I think, you know, and so you just kind of look at him and you're always like, I expect so much more out of a guy that's that athletic. But
yeah, reason. It's, you know, you have to put it in perspective, because that's, you know, not everybody's going to be a Hall of Famer. And that's, we do these comps and that's kind of the reflexive reaction to it. It's like, that guy, if he's not a Hall of Famer, he stinks. No, it's not that. I mean, if you're talking about a guy in the third, fourth round and Akilah Witherspoon or someone like that's the comp, that's the comp. I mean, it doesn't suck. It's what you have.
Right.
Coming next to the Rise of Sea Red podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the web. Let's move on to the final group, safeties. Who stood out at the combine? Who should the Cardinals be on have their eyes open for? That's coming to next on Rise of Sea Red. Back on the Rise of Sea Red podcast, best of our Cardinals Talk on the web. We hit the final position group. That is the safeties. The Cardinals have a pair of good safeties in Buda Baker and Jalen Thompson, so it's a position we don't tend to talk much about. Who are the guys that stood out at the combine? Who should we know about?
I think the safety duo out of Illinois, Jartavius Martin and Sidney Brown, both had really good combines. You know, Martin is a guy at 5'11", 194. He had a 4.46 40. He had the fastest 40 time of all safeties. He had a 44-inch vertical, which is...
Didn't he have the highest vertical of any player, period?
Yeah. So he had the highest vertical and then, you know, one of the fastest 40 for a safety. And so that's, you know, he's a guy that I think we talked a little bit about this the other day. Like, safety is one of those positions, man, that it's just tough because, like you said, there's two good ones. So now you're looking at, like, how does a guy fit in on special teams? Has he been a special teamer? And does he work that? And then can he take over? You know, so Martin's a guy that's already been that and could be kind of a guy that takes over for somebody if need be. But, you know, he's also had work in the slot as a corner. So I think that gives him a little plus benefit. Brown, the 5'10", 211-pound safety, ran a 4.47, had a 40.5-inch vertical and a 10.10 broad. You know, he is more of a box safety type, obviously not the prospect that like a Buda Baker was.
But the thing is, like, he had 6 picks this year.
Right.
You know, and there are so many, like, people were telling you and me and us, Antonio Johnson was a first round pick, and really there's nothing to justify that, right?
No, and that's going to be what's interesting, you know.
Yeah, and we have Sidney Brown and Jason Taylor, guys that we're told, you know, can't play deep safety from conventional draft picks. And yet both those guys had 6 picks this year.
And I look at, you know, these guys as the biggest thing is going to be can they contribute on special teams immediately? Cause we don't expect the Cardinals to move on from, Jalen Thompson or Buda Baker with their contracts.
Right.
So, you know, Martin and Brown, both are guys that, well,
I would absolutely, Jason Taylor is a guy who I think is 100% going to be able to contribute on special teams and be available on day 3, right? Because he's going to be 24 next year, albeit late December. But look at these other guys, man. Like Jay Ward from LSU, guy who's very productive and who tested well, but not ultra productive, but a guy that they worked out at corner in the combine. That's a guy that could help you a lot, right?
Right. And then, you know, the guy that was supposed to be the top guy at the position was the Alabama
Brian Branch.
Brian Branch, right. And, you know.
Do you think, though, watching him, and certainly from the testing, I mean, you guys had experience with Tyrann Mathieu. Does he remind you at all of that? Or yeah. Was that a lot of hype?
No, I think he does. I think he's more similar to like Jimmy Ward.
To who?
To like Jimmy Ward, who had a similar skill set coming out of Northern Illinois.
Interesting.
And so, but like, you know, the 4.58, I'm not worried about that the way he plays, you know, but I think he'll be the only safety drafted in the first round.
But, and I'm not arguing this, but why would you draft him in the first round?
I wouldn't. So.
Right. And that's, I mean, looking at all the other prospects in this draft, I think that's one of my problems with this is like he was gifted not only first round, but like top 10. And now he runs a 4.58 and nobody can answer that question.
I think they're hoping he becomes Minkah Fitzpatrick, but Fitzpatrick was a 4.46 guy.
Exactly. So
a full, you know. Tenth of a second.
Yeah, fast.
So, but yeah, I mean, this safety class, ironically, one of the things that we always talk about with safeties is that they're usually like super athletic and then
right. They
end up going on day three. And right. I was telling Jess about this. So like a guy like Daniel Scott out of California, who tested really well, came in at 6'1", 208, ran a 4.45, had a 39.5-inch vertical and a 10.8 broad jump, and then had good three-cone testing. He compares favorably to, like, James Wiggins, who the Cardinals drafted in the, sixth or seventh round.
Yeah.
And you and I mentioned him, too, on our show. So,
right.
Yep.
Like, these guys don't fall in love with their athletic testing because – there's a reason that they're all kind of bunched together because it's not a shot at them, but it's kind of like the linebacker thing. Like they have to be able to prove it on the field and the testing metrics don't do that. Like they don't weed it out outside of unless a guy's like really unathletic, like the
exactly
the two Florida safeties. Right.
Yeah. And then you don't draft them. And then if they hit, you brag about it.
Right. Yeah, both of those guys tested like Tony Jefferson, who had a great career, but like
right. Again
went undrafted and the Cardinals took advantage of it.
Exactly.
And with that, we will end this edition of the Rise Up C-Rid podcast, Becerra of Cardinals Talk. It's part two of our NFL Combine review. Big thanks again to Justin Higdon for joining us, giving you guys another kind of a bonus take on the original Draft Breakdown podcast. Again, I'm going to keep plugging that show. I don't listen to a lot of podcasts. There's one I do listen to, especially this time of year. Get signed up for their show. Listen to Seth and Justin a couple of times a week. Get the one for free. Sign up for the Patreon. You got the lower tier at $2 a month, the higher tier at $4 a month, where you get some written content as well. Justin, really big thanks. Thanks for coming on. This has become a yearly thing.
I love it, man. Jess, thanks so much for having me on. And, of course, thanks to Seth, too. But I talk to Seth every single week. So, yeah.
Every single day.
All right, man. Take care. That wraps up this edition of the Rise Up Cigarette Podcast. That's Justin Higdon. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Thanks for listening. We should have, if all goes well, a weekend episode coming up where I speak with Kelvin Beecham, free agent right tackle for the Arizona Cardinals. So we will be back soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up C-Red Podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise Up Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up C-Red.